We have, over the last couple of weeks, been talking about money and how money operates in the kingdom of God. And this is one segment. I have other segments to share with you, but I want to finish up this one segment today. Because in this whole concept of our money, it's a faith issue of what you do with your money. And we've been talking about honoring God with our money. Now, it's important to remember that God owns everything, right? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He owns the hills, and He owns the universe. He owns everything. But while we're here, He allows us to take stewardship of many, many things. It becomes ours for the time that we have it, and He wants us to use the things that we have to meet our needs. That's fine to do, and also to resource the kingdom of God so that He can continue the process of reaching people and sharing with people through humans as He's chosen to do that. Now, He could have done that through angels. He could have done that through Him speaking verbally to people from heaven, but He chose to use people to reach people. And in doing that, we have to have money to accomplish that task, so that's why we have it. So He's given us that. Now, one of the things I want to make sure you understand is money is very dangerous. Did you hear me? Money is dangerous. I mentioned in the previous messages about some dangers. Let me give you three more dangers of money. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 14, "Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Because you see what the dollar bill up there says? It says, "In greed we trust." And you know, I got to tell you, I look at Americans, and when I see them having to buy storage units because of all the things that they have, and they don't have enough room in their house to store all of their things, and so they got to buy. There's a problem here. When you're in it, many times you don't see it. But there's a problem. And greed can grab a hold of lives. And Jesus said, watch out for it. Because greed can direct your life rather than God. Remember He said you can't serve God and who's the other one? Mammon. You know what mammon is? Mammon is that pull to have more. Pull to have stuff. Pull that gets pulled when we get pulled that way. Now, it's not bad to have things, but that can rule your life. That can pull you so that you're not walking with the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying here. Guard against it, because it can cause trouble. In fact, He talked about that in a parable. Listen to what He says. This is in Luke chapter 12 where He said that. This is what He said to Luke. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry.'" May I just say, that's the desire of a lot of people when they win the lottery. Right? They want to just have enough so they just, I don't have to do anything. It's in the hearts of people, saying. And then Jesus continues and He says, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' Then Jesus responds and says, after telling the story, 'So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" Money's dangerous. And it can pull us to want to have more and more and more. It can rob us from being part of the kingdom of God. Jesus said this. He said, "It's hard for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Let me just remind you, if you have two cars, you're in the top 5%, I think it is, of the world income. If your family has two cars, do you understand that? If you have one car, you're in the 5%. If you have two cars, you're in like the 3% or something. It's real short. But that's amazing, isn't it? How many of you have a car? You don't have to raise your hand, but you have a car, right? That puts you in the top earning bracket of the world. We don't think that, but that's the reality of where we are. So therefore, remember when Jesus speaks to rich people, you are physically rich in our world. Do you understand that? We don't think so because we know people in our society that have a whole lot more money, so we don't think we're rich, but we really are. Jesus said, it's harder for those who have riches to enter in the kingdom of God. It's hard for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel, you know a camel, right? To go through the eye of a needle. You know a needle? Than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, do you see the trouble? You know what a needle looks like? Have you ever used a needle to sew? Yeah. Well, so Jesus said, the disciples said, well then who can enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? With men all things are impossible. With God all things are possible. God can do it. So here we need to understand that there can be troubles with that. It can be dangerous. Do you understand it can be dangerous? Shake your head yes. Here's the third one. Money can choke out the Word of God. Remember Jesus said, He spoke apparently, He said, behold, a sower went out to sow. You remember that parable? And you remember how it fell on four grounds, the seed did? You remember that? Well, it says, as Jesus continues in the story, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And then later on, Jesus interprets that, and He says, now, he who received the seeds among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, that's the first part that can cause trouble, and the deceitfulness of riches. Choke out the word of God. You know what I mean? You know when you choke something? It dies. That can keep you from getting the word of God. These are dangers. Does that mean money's bad? Is money the root of all evil? What is? Love of money is the root of all evil. So, with these dangers that are traps for us, that can mess up our lives, and money can be that way, how do you protect yourself from these dangers? How can you keep from getting overwhelmed with it? Do you have friends that have been caught up in those dangers? I do. And sad to say, as a position of pastor, I've watched that happen in the lives of people within churches that I've pastored for years. And it's deceitful. And it happens slowly and it grabs a hold of them and it just chokes them. But how do we protect ourselves? Well, the way you do that is you honor God with your money. You remember in the book of Exodus, Deuteronomy, he talked about this. He said to the children of Israel, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. I tell you, people who are acquaintances of mine in third world countries would come here, and they'd look at my lifestyle and look at your lifestyle, and you know what they would say? You fit that. Do you understand how they would see that? Then the Lord says, when your heart's lifted up, if you have that, then your heart can be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and you say in your heart, my power and my might, by might of my hand, have gained me this wealth. But the Lord says, you should remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. You see, the way you don't let money wipe you out is you remember who granted it to you. You remember where it came from. That'll keep you from getting off base with money. So how do you do that? Well, the Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, the way we do is we honor the Lord with our possessions. Now, last week we talked about Abraham giving a tithe to the Lord. His son did also. His son Jacob. Remember one day Jacob was running away from a family situation and he stopped at Bethel and went to sleep that night, put his head on a rock to sleep on. And the Lord, he had a dream, and the dream was of a staircase, they call it a ladder in the Old King James, but it means a staircase of angels coming down and going up, and God was at the top of the staircase. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and you and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so it's the same promise he gave to Abraham, the same promise he gave to Jacob, to Isaac he gave to Jacob. That's why we call God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because those covenants were made. Even though he is the God of a whole lot of other people, he made that special covenant with him. So he had this dream. And after he did that, God said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go, and I'll bless you. Jacob, when he woke up the next day, he took the rock that he was sleeping on, and he set it up, and he poured oil on it. And it says, what he did after that, he called the place Bethel, which means the house of God. And then Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I've set up as a pillar shall be God's house. Now you understand, he knew that wasn't God's house. It was representing God's house. And then he said, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a, what's the word? Tenth. How much is a tenth? 10%. I'll give a 10% to you. So Abraham and Jacob gave a tenth to the Lord. Now Moses gave a tenth as a law under the Old Testament. Tithing was a law under the Old Testament in Moses' day when he gave that. In the New Testament, we're no longer under the law of Moses. You understand that, right? Shake your head, yes. We're not under the law of Moses in the New Testament. You don't have to do that because we've been set free from that law. So we don't have to do that. But there are valuable lessons to be gained from understanding the law. And there are principles that we can pull from the law of God, from the ways of God in the Old Testament, that can really enhance our lives. And one of those is this concept of tithing. Here, just in Proverbs, to give the Lord of our first fruits, of all of our increase. If we do that, we honor God with our possessions, and that keeps us from getting in trouble. You know where we tithe? Let me tell you why I tithe. Because Cindy and I have been tithers since the time we got married. Before we got married, we both independently were tithing. Then we got married, and we started tithing together as husband and wife. Why do we tithe? Well, the reason I tithe is because of the reason God gave tithing in the first place. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, it says this. He's speaking to the nation of Israel, and he says, you shall truly tithe of the increase of your grain that the fields produce year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place of He has chosen to make His name abide. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, of the firstborn of the herds of your flocks. And here's the reason. You see the reason? Look what it says. That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Say that part with me. That you may fear. I'm sorry, let's start again. I'm sorry. That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That's why. You know, because if you're giving away 10% to the Lord of everything that comes in, 10% is enough to know about it. Do you understand that? I mean, it's not like it's enough that you know it's there. So you're giving it and you're saying, Lord, I recognize this comes from you and I joyfully bring this to you. Now, when you give the tithe, how do you do it? Well, in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 26, God shares with us how to do it. Now, we don't have time this morning to read through the entire passage, but let me just give you the highlights of it. The Lord said, when you first bring it, remember from where you came. When the Israelite brought it, he would come and present it before the priest, and you know what he would say? He would say, my father, speaking about Abraham, was brought here by God. And then we went down into Egypt. And then in Egypt we had this rough situation and it was hard and God led us out of bondage and brought us to this wonderful land. And so as he presents the tithe, he's giving a statement of what's happened in his life. When you give a tithe, you need to understand, it was God who delivered you from sin. It was God who rescued you, reached down and rescued your life. And now has established your life in a different path, in a different place, in a different way, so that you are a new creation in him. And so we come recognizing what God has done in rescuing us from that. The second thing God said to do is, when you bring it, rejoice before the Lord. You know what you rejoice about? All that God's given you. Has He given you a lot? Yeah. He's given you a whole lot. And you can rejoice in that. I had major things happen to me in a time when I went into a country that was a more third world country, and a man told me, I told you the story, told me I was rich because I had more than one pair of shoes. He didn't have more than one pair of shoes. He only had one pair of shoes. Nobody else in his family had shoes because they couldn't afford shoes. And he bought the shoes because if he didn't have them, he couldn't work because his feet, what he had to do, his feet would be bloody. And he had to have shoes. And he said, you're very rich. He took me to his home. You know what he lived in? Cardboard. He had cardboard. And on the roof, he had a little bit of plastic along with the cardboard. And that's what he and his wife and his family lived in. And you know what? They were happy. He invited me into his cardboard house, shack. I mean, you know, our kids play in such things. And he invited me in. And I met his two children and his wife. And he said, we are very happy because God has blessed us. He gave thanks. Well, if he can give thanks, certainly we got a lot of stuff to give thanks for. So he gave thanks for God's provision. And finally, after he presented it before the Lord, and he said, Lord, I've done everything that you asked me to do. Would you please bless me? And it's proper when you give to the Lord to say, Lord, now will you bless? Because I'm giving this, I'm honoring you. And the Lord said, you remember that passage in Proverbs? If we honor the Lord with our possessions, if we give our first fruits, what's he going to do? Your barns will be full. God blesses you. So it's proper to say, Lord, I've done this, and now I ask you to bring blessing into my life. So that's how we present the tithes. You know what kind of blessing you get from God? In the book of Malachi, there's this interesting passage that says this. Again, written to the Jewish people, but God said, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in the house, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. Now, you remember the food in the house was for the priests and the Levites. It was, and for the strangers that came in, the foreigners that came in, that was the food that was in the house. God didn't eat it. It was for other people to have. But God says, bring it into my house, bring it into the temple for that purpose. And then he said, try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that will not be room enough for you to receive it. Isn't that great? You remember, if you lived in an agricultural society, what do you need to have for crops to grow? Yeah, you got to have rain coming down, right? And you've also got to have sunshine coming, right? And you got to have a proper mix of the two. Too much of either one will kill the crops, right? So God says, if you bring this in, then I'm going to pour down blessing upon you, and you have great conditions for marvelous provision so that there will not be room enough for it. Well, Jesus just talked about a guy not having room enough for it. Build enough extra places to do it. What do you do when you don't have room for it? We'll talk about that in future. Yeah, you give it away. That's part of the thing in the future. We'll talk about that. Because you can store it up. What happens when you die? You don't get to take it with you, do you? You know, so it's good to be used. It's not really good to hang around and hang on to it forever, because you can't. And then the Lord says, here's the second blessing. That's the first blessing. He's going to open up heaven, and he's going to cause conditions to happen so that there will be more than enough. And then the second blessing is this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for your field, says the Lord of hosts. Well, we don't have an agricultural society today, but what God does is he keeps Satan from taking advantage of you in whatever job you're having. And also taking advantage of your possessions and stealing them away. You know, I had to buy tires this past week. I regularly get better tire mileage than most people I talk to. I drive as many miles as they do, but my tires just keep on, 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 keep on. You know, and my mechanic just said, how long have you had these tires? And he said, oh no, I'll check. And he said, whoa, you've had these a long time. Look at the mileage you put on these things. And I say, well, yeah. And that happens because God blesses. And God just blesses. He does that. And so you can trust him. He'll provide for you. He'll keep the devourer away, and he'll bring blessing in your life. And who does it? God does. And it's wonderful when you have that perspective. See, that's what tithing does. It gives you this perspective of who's in charge. Now, where's the place for the tithe? Well, in the Old Testament, they took it into the storehouse, which was the temple. In the New Testament days, we don't have a temple. Right? You know what we have? We have a church. You know what the church is? The church, universal, not just our local church. We're just one little piece. God's church, the big church, is where He wants to use that in reaching out and touching people. And we're going to talk about that in the future, about how to use our monies in a neat way in New Testament standards that God's given us. So we'll talk about that. But right now, we bring the tithe into the storehouse and to the church setting, and God then blesses that as we reach out. Now, let me throw some things out. Do you have to tithe? Yeah, the answer is no. It's Old Testament. But it brings about a lot of blessing. I mean, it brings out some really neat blessing. It brings about a way to protect from the danger that money can cause by honoring God as our provider and the one who takes care of us. Do you understand that point? Okay. That's a great reason. That's one of the reasons that I tithe. Do you have time? No. But it's a way for me to show forth my love to the Lord. David one time was going to make an offering before the Lord, and a man said, "Oh, here's use some of my sheep, and you can offer them." And you know what David said? "I will not offer to the Lord an offering that doesn't cost me anything." And you know what? My tithes cost me some. You know? My daughter tithes, Tanya. She tithes. But she teaches school, and she goes through, and she does something kind of interesting, because she teaches math. And one of the things she does is teaches the children how to deal with the world in which they live. So she talks about checking accounts, talks about budget and all that kind of stuff. And talk about budget, you know what she does? She takes her budget and opens it up for them. And you know what they see? They see annually that she tithes. And they all go, what are you doing? That's a lot of money. And she says, why are you doing that? And so it's a great chance for her to share about the Lord. But she loves the Lord, and that's why she does it. And tithing is a wonderful way to just say to the Lord, "Lord, I just want to let you know I think you're in control, and I give this to you willingly, joyfully, because of all that you've done for me." It's a great way to receive a blessing from the Lord, because He opens up heaven and He protects you from the devourer. And it produces consistency in giving and offers a gateway into what really giving is. If you don't tithe, we tithe on a regular basis, then I can tell you what will happen, because if you watch it happen across the world today, New Testament Christians, you know what they do? They don't give much money to the Lord at all. Average of everybody is between 1 and 2% of their income that they share for God's kingdom of all Christians. Isn't that terrible? That's why nothing much gets done, because people don't give much. And it's just really sad. And a lot of people don't give anything. Some people give a lot. Do you know the name Alan Rossi? Alan Rossi was the head of Tropicana Orange Juice. You ever heard of Tropicana Orange Juice? It's been sold to another company now. But when Mr. Rossi was alive, Mr. Rossi made a lot of money, but he was a believer, a strong believer in Jesus. So he made a decision. He'd been tithing all of his life, but God started giving more and more and more. So you know what he started doing? He started increasing the amount that he gave. And before he died, Mr. Rossi was giving away more than 90% of everything, and he was living on 10%. You know what he said? "That's more than I need him to live on." Because God just kept blessing and blessing and blessing. So it's a great way to start the consistency so that you will be giving to the Lord. It's a great way for that. But you see, like a tricycle is to a car, tithing is to real giving. And I just submit to you that if you aren't involved in tithing, you'll never, ever really be involved in giving. You know why? Because when you give, well, that really changes the whole dynamic in a lot of different ways. And we're going to talk about that, because the two ways of giving in the New Testament are almsgiving, giving alms, and giving offerings to the Lord, special offerings that you sow into God's kingdom. And that's for another day. But I just want to encourage you, God wants to bless you. We have found in our life, consistency in tithing has been a great blessing for us. So we just encourage you to do that. God wants to bless you richly. And so here's the way to do it. And so you have to tithe? No. Will you receive a lot of blessing if you do? Yeah. Wonderful blessing. So, is that helpful? Okay, good. Well, say the verse with me. The blessings of the Lord make one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Thank you, Lord, that You give to us money to use. Thank you, Lord, that You allow us to buy so many wonderful things for our families and take care of our needs. And thank You that You give us more than enough so we can help our friends and touch people's lives and provide for them. Please, Lord, by Your grace, continue to bring blessing to us so that we can continue to bless other people. In Jesus' name. Amen.